Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Pieces from Prison podcast. I am Ariel, and I'm back with my sister and co-host, Adriana.
Hi.
And we are back with another episode. We have another letter, which I'm excited to get into. But this one's a little different. This man actually asked me to use his name in the letter. So this man is James Dean Rosales. He also asked me to put in his address, but he did send me this a little while ago, so I'm not sure if it's going to be the same address, but his current inmate number, if you are interested in getting a hold of him through JPay, his inmate number is 1397290. So if you do have a JPay account, or you can make one, you can send him a letter through there with his inmate number. So again, his name is James Dean Rosales, and we are going to get into his story. Okay, so he says, on the website, it lists the crime I'm incarcerated for under the number of 1397290, which is murder, but I got another, which is ran concurrent with my other number. I'll get to why I have two numbers, but here is the amount of time and charges I have against me. Murder for 50 years, murder 50 years, engaging in organized criminal activity 20 years, and burglary of a habitation 8 years. All ran concurrent under a 50-year sentence. You do know that there are organizations out there that speak up for incarcerated people, like Texas Inmate Family Association, can be found at TIFA.org. Just like you speak about juveniles, Texas just passed the second look bill through the House and Senate, just waiting for the governor to sign off on it. Glad to hear your internship changed the way you look at people who do wrong. Most people just judge a book by its cover. Like I said, I don't know what you're looking for, totally, but here's a brief summary. My name is James Dean Rosales. I was born on May 14, 1983, here in Texas. I was raised in a small country town most of the time. I was raised around gang members, Latin Kings, Mexican Mafia, Bloods, Crips, etc., etc. I had both my parents growing up, thanks to the man above. I still have both my parents. I got two sisters, five brothers, and one son. For some reason, I just liked doing things that got me in trouble. For the most part of growing up, I always tried to depend on myself most of the time. I stayed in Texas from 1983 to 1997. Then I moved to South California from 1997 to 2003. Then back to Texas on May 3rd, 2005. I got locked up in 2000. I became a member of the Almighty Latin King Queen Nation. In May 2017, I slid back from the gang life and now try to put more focus into myself and my family. I done spoke for chapters of the ALKQN, which is the Almighty Latin King Queen Nation, and the world in prison system. Put people down with ALKQN. My story from here really takes on from 2000 into present day. In 2000, I was going to school in South Carolina. I lived with my dad. I was fairly well known, but I wasn't feeling school, so I dropped out. Started working then, I started selling drugs as a side hustle. I would party here and there, but I was never addicted to any drugs. I remember one time shooting at somebody's house because they broke into my house. Just felt an eye for an eye. Another time, me and my brother jumped this dude that had a gun on him. Was just really trying to make a name. In 2003, I moved back to Texas to try to change my life for the better. I was doing all right, then I hooked up with some other kings and started chilling. They all looked up to me at 19 to 20 years old, even the older ones. So I decided to start climbing the ranks. I became an enforcer, violating other members, and putting in work. Everything I say is truth. I tell you because I probably already got found guilty, got the case dismissed, or it won't never come back to incriminate me. I shot at my own family members for disrespect. I even remember them coming and talking to my mom, saying, "You tell James to please quit shooting." Now I regret it, but I cut and stabbed people, set people's houses on fire, battled other gang members. In June 2004, I committed my first murder against another Latin king who was smoking crack and quit reporting. He was chilling with another gang who said we couldn't touch him, but I touched him, the only repercussion coming to prison and losing everything. Around that same time in 2004, I met this girl and we started going together. In August 2004, I shut up this house. In October 2004, a friend of mine and also now ex-Latin King went to jail. That's when I took full control of the chapter. I used to go to monthly meetings in the state of Texas. I recruited some new members. In December 2004/January 2005, became pregnant. I was still active but was finally catching some sense. I was 21 now. I had the younger members going to school. What good is a dumb homeboy? Even persuaded two people to go to the U.S. Army. From around July 2004, people above me used to tell me, "You got nothing to prove, kick back and relax." I was even trying to encourage other members to put back into the community. I stopped people from selling drugs to other people who couldn't control them. Donated Christmas presents, like a yin-yang symbol. With all the good, there's a little bad. With the bad, there's a little good. Back to January 2005. I gave up all my rank and started trying to chill and do right. I still attended meetings. In March 2005, after a meeting, I walked into the living room of a member's house. Wish that never happened. That was like the end of freedom. Anyways, these members were talking about killing another member, so I asked why and was told the king had molested another king's daughter, which was my little cousin. So I was asked, would I go along since I already killed before? Part of me wants to say no, but I don't want to seem weak, so I say yes and go. I found a spot for everything to take place. I fire the pistol. That's when I knew my freedom was numbered. It was like that voice you said, "You know you fucked up." I remember like 2 to 3 weeks after that, I was walking down the street. I looked into the sky, said a prayer as I was walking. I asked the man above to just let me have a kid/son, someone to carry on my name, and I'll do whatever time I got to do. In April 2005, I went to trial for burglary of a habitation. I got 8 years, probation 6 months, ISF, which I believe means intermediate sanction facility. I was to report every week. The first week, May 3rd, 2005, I report I get arrested for murder. The March 2005 one. In July 2005, I get arraigned for organized crime, retaliation, and deadly conduct. In November 2005, I get arraigned for capital murder. Organized crime for the June 2004 murder. I still remember how it happened. I was watching the news, waiting for these other gang members to get indicted. Well, the gang members were me and my homeboy. I was lost for words. I went to visit a couple days later to see my mom. She was like, "Is there anything else you're going to be arrested for?" I was like, "No, that's pretty much it." She was like, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I got myself in this mess. I got to do my best to get myself out." A lot of people turn state evidence. I got the most time, but I still feel blessed, like I won. I took a lot of plea bargains. On May 11th, 2006, I was convicted of murder. 50 years. 20 years for organized crime and 8 years for burglary. I was sent to prison on June 12, 2006. In August 2006, I went from prison back to the county to face capital murder. I made a plea agreement to drop my friend's charge, the same friend slash ex-member who got arrested October 2004. I dropped the organized crime, dropped the capital part, and give me 50 years for murder. Ran concurrent with my other convictions. Some of the hardest choices in life, but you live and you learn. Came back to prison October 2006. Got into a fight with some bloods and got shipped to another unit far from home. I stayed there from May 2007 to January 2009. I got my GED. Some other classes, cognitive intervention. Had no visits at all from November 2006 to February 2009. I didn't want my people traveling long distance. On that unit, Clemens unit, I'm the only Latin king in population, so I start finding other kings that aren't in population, and putting everything together. I start speaking for the whole unit. Well, on that unit, my friend, the ex-member, was there, so I kick it with him. When he goes back to the county, I decide to put a hardship in to get moved closer home. I land on Connolly unit. I try to chill. Everybody knows me by Chaos. Some know me by my real name, James. I came to Connolly trying to change. I tried to go by James, but other kings were always calling me Chaos, so the name stuck. I got to hold my son for the first time on March 2009. An unexplained emotion. In June 2009, I attend the first Kobe retreat slash Acts retreat on this unit, a Catholic church program. It's really interesting and life-changing. While I'm here on this unit, I get into it with this king whose rank was the speaker over all Texas prisons. Well, that no longer exists. I had him removed and the prison system changed. From there, I jump back into the rank system. In 2010, I get into it with some bloods again, because they wanted to line up this Mexican dude, so we fought. In 2011, there are some speakers for the unit. They last a couple years. In the end of 2012, I get them removed of rank, and I take control of the unit as one of the speakers. In February 2014, I go to lock up for investigation on establishing a relationship and introducing tobacco into a facility. Well, the administration can't prove anything, so they let me free. In 2016, I put down two new members. In 2017, I'm reading the local newspaper, and I see my grandma's obituary in there. Even though I wasn't close with her, her death made me change. I remember laying on my bunk, crying, evaluating everything in life. I decide I had enough. I shoot word out that I'm done. I'm back changing my life and putting more time and effort into my family. The Latin Kings let me walk free with no problems. I do good. I put in to get off of gang life. I get a job as a cook, then in maintenance as a plumber. Keep in mind, Texas does not pay any inmates for anything. We work for free, modern day slavery. Well, I jump into the game, as they call it, and start hustling in the penitentiary, making money. I try to do a lot for my son. Know that. He's 16 this year, but he's my heart. I try to get him what he wants and needs. Well, February 2020, all visits are canceled throughout Texas. My son tries to commit suicide. So I get me a cell phone. I start reaching out to my family more. On July 31st, 2020, I get caught up with a cell phone and go to lockup. I remember telling my mom and people, August 1st, I'm done with everything. The dope game, cell phones, all that. And I get popped July 31st, 2020. Now I'm 65, close custody, stuck in a cell most days, 24 hours a day, no AC, hot, recreation and showers every now and then, even though policy states we are supposed to get it every day. I got to do a year case-free, Then I go to 64, medium custody, a little more privileges. 6 months after that, back to population. I left Connolly Unit May 4th, 2021. Me and 12 others whose name keeps ringing. In the year 2020, about 60 to 75 cell phones were caught on Connolly Unit, and about 80 to 100 felony cases were roped. I got one of them, which I hope I don't get indicted on it. I got till 2023. If I'm not indicted, the case gets dismissed. My son was also just on probation. He's doing much better now. I preach to him that this life is not what's up. If and when I do get out, I want to talk to juvenile delinquents and help them out. I pray faithfully every day, try to make plans for when I get out. I draw and tattoo real well. I read every day and stay busy. If I could change things, I would. I'm not young no more. I truly learn from my mistakes. I've been locked up 16 plus years. I see parole in 2030. I'm in single digits. Walk down a 25 to 8 plus years till I see parole. I lost a lot of my family members along the way. I refuse to let the prison system win against me. I have 15 minor cases and one major case, possession of a cell phone, the whole time locked up. I'm no longer a gang member. I participated in the faith-based dorm. I put God first. We all make mistakes, some worse than others. It's hard, but it's up to you to want change. We all have choices. I have a son I refuse to let walk in my shoes. I really wish I would have listened when people told me to just chill. I pray for freedom daily and ask the man above to guide me righteously. I've been locked up since I was 21. I'm 38 now. I learned to forgive. If people feel I'm weak, well, then I am. My loved ones mean the world to me. With every minor setback is a major comeback. We all do wrong, but life in prison isn't what's up. This is where he says, I would prefer you to use my name and in the end put my address as well. I might be able to help somebody along the way as well. He says, if there's any questions, feel free to ask whatever. Take care. May peace and blessings be amongst you and your loved ones.
As you were reading, I made a couple of notes that stood out. Just some themes that we've seen kind of throughout most of the letters that you've read. And the first one was that it seems so hard because he said he had both of his parents, mm-hmm. which he was thankful for. But even then, it's hard when you're surrounded by gang life and that's what you see and that's what your friends do and that seems cool or it seems like a way to protect yourself. Maybe you do need to do that to protect yourself. But like how that's something even though he knew, you know, maybe he shouldn't do it, but he got into it. And also the struggles that he's had of how gangs are still alive in prison and like he was trying to get away from it, use his real name. But people knew him, and so he couldn't even
it just like escape it then. Followed him no matter where he went. I know. And that is something I wanted to write back and ask him, how he got into gang life. I feel like he didn't really talk too much about, like, how he got into it. Did he?
He did a bit at the beginning. Not necessarily how he...
Like, who introduced him to it? I would really like to know that.
But it also shows the cycle, too, of how, like, now his son is getting kind of caught up in it, and he doesn't want him to do that. It's just, like, a cycle that is hard to break.
I know. I feel bad for his son, but at least he has someone who went through... partially maybe what he might be going through right now, and at least he has someone to be like, listen, I was in your shoes, it's not worth it. And that's exactly what he's saying how much he should have listened when he was growing up, and now at least he can be that person for his son.
Yeah, I thought that was cool that he said he wanted to talk to the youth and try to help them stay on the right path.
I know. That is really important. There are a lot of reasons we do this podcast, but one of them is, hopefully, we've said this before, but if there is people out there who know someone who's going down a wrong path or maybe going down a wrong path themselves, it is really impactful to hear how their lives are and how much they wish they could go back and change the choices that they made. Because I'm sure while you're committing crime, I'm sure you don't think of the consequences and how much it can affect your life in the end.
A couple of other things that have come up were like how his work, like the prison labor, how he's doing this work and not really getting paid for it, the prison conditions. But another positive was that he said he got his GED and was doing some other education stuff. And I'm a big proponent of getting educated while you're in prison and prison education. So that was a positive.
That is a positive. I'm glad. I feel like it might be easy, I'm not sure, to lose motivation while being locked up, but it's good. I always congratulate those who are actually taking the time to better themselves.
Those are just a few things that stood out to me when you were reading, but it was an interesting letter and he gave us a lot of detail. So it was cool.
I know. We really got to see like a whole timeline of his crime when he was sentenced and up until now. So like he said, and like I said earlier, if you are interested in writing him, I'm sure, well, he is open to letters, and if you think it would benefit someone in your life that you think may want to hear from him, I think it would be a really good idea to reach out to him. So that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back with another episode next Tuesday. As always, you can follow us on our socials at Pieces from Prison Pod on TikTok and Instagram, or visit our website at pfppodcast.com. You can subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so that you know when new episodes are being released, and rate us so we know how we're doing. Thank you again for listening, and you'll hear from us soon. Bye.